I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, of course, powered by Overtime Media. I am Jay Kokorowski, senior writer, lead football writer, beat writer, whatever you want to call me, at Badger Blitz, of course, part of the Rivals Network, where we cover all things Wisconsin from the recruiting trail, inside Camp Randall Stadium, and on the court of the Kohl Center. And we're recording on Friday night, so we're not going to be able to talk about Wisconsin-Michigan State on the basketball court this week. We'll probably do that next week with Ben Wargle a little bit more, or we'll get someone else on the podcast to talk about that. We're going to talk, this should be Colton and I's week off, right? This is an off season, man. And I spoiled my guest right there because I have on good buddy from the Wisconsin State Journal. We got Colton Bartholomew on the show, and because there's so much football right now news that have come through, and he's nodding his head. I'm nodding my head. My head's spinning. I was going to start taking a couple days off starting Wednesday, and then a flurry of news just hits, right? And so Colton, man, thanks for joining the show. And let's start it off right now. And let's talk about maybe the one, we'll talk about the offensive coordinator position that's an external on the external jobs.wisc.edu site. But let's talk about your report talking about Bob Bostad, a familiar name, current inside linebackers coach, but taking over, according to your report, coaching the offensive line, something that he is very much used to, very familiar with, because he did that from 2008 to 2011 at Wisconsin. Also did that in the NFL, at the NFL level before coming back to the college ranks. In your eyes, it seemed like the logical fit, right? Where you had someone on staff that has the experience, that has a resume of building All-Americans and NFL draft picks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is you're Paul Christ. It's like, number one, how important the offensive line is to the success of not only all football teams, but especially a team that's trying to run the ball like they are. And Joe Rudolph's lines had been solid. I think that's funny. Like, we've talked, and I know you guys on your message boards and our comment sections and everything, you saw all year the complaints about the offensive line. It's like 95% of college football would kill to have Wisconsin football's line from this past season. It just wasn't what people expect out of the Wisconsin offensive line, which is one of the highest bars there is. But you enter Bob Bostad, you go into this if you're Paul Christ, and you say, is anybody from the outside going to be able to present a resume like Bob Bostad has coaching offensive linemen? And not only that, a guy that has the familiarity with everybody on this roster already, knows who they are, has been practicing against them on the defensive side, knows their strengths and weaknesses. It's just the perfect fit at the perfect time, really, where you really need, with the talent they have in that room, I mean, all of the five and four star guys that they have, all the potential is there. I think they would have been really hard pressed to find somebody from the outside to be able to come in and have the immediate growth impact that they need to have at that group. Because, I know there are three starters potentially coming back. I mean, Tyler Beach is coming back, but we'll see what happens at the left tackle spot. But this is a huge year for the offensive line because it's a ton of talent. They've got to step forward. They know what they've got at some skill positions like running back, but this is a big year for the offensive line. And Bob Bostad's a guy that you really can't argue. Every position, everywhere he's been pretty successful with what he's got, especially when you look at what he's done at Wisconsin. It's a really hard hire not to make, honestly.
Right. And within that too, Wisconsin still needs to officially declare. We're just letting everybody know on this podcast too, we're still waiting for the official announcement. It seemed like the logical conclusion going forward with having Bob on staff already in his resume. Like I said, we're still waiting for the official announcement going forward, and we'll see when that comes there. But I guess too, you talk about Bob, you talk about Joe, you talk about Joe Rudolph. Joe built those lines, and he did great work taking over from Gary Anderson in that offense with Andy Ludwig, which, by the way, Andy Ludwig did a great job at Utah. And what you saw with their rushing scheme, what they did in the Pac-12 this year and almost beating Ohio State before collapsing in the second half like they did on New Year's Day. But they took over the offensive line and kind of reestablished that. Joe was a big part of that. You saw what happened with Ryan Ramczyk, Michael Dieter, you know, they're all in the NFL. David Edwards, too. And Bo Benchwell. Exactly. Tyler Biadasz, you know, taking these, the talent that maybe wasn't necessarily ranked as high. Cole Van Lannen's an example of a four-star kid according to Rivals, but you saw what he was able to do with that line. And then he was able to recruit where you're seeing, you know, highly ranked guys like Joe Tippmann, Logan Brown. We're still waiting on Logan Brown, but Jack Nelson stepping in, what he did in his second year as a starter. I guess, what is, in your eyes, you know, the impact of Joe, his legacy on the line since returning in 2015? And then what do you think Bob could do going forward? Or what would you expect from Bob Bostad?
Yeah, I think when you start with the legacy part of it for Joe Rudolph, I mean, it was one of those, it was kind of a funny thing because all year fans were, like I mentioned, kind of complaining about the state of the offensive line and saying that the program needed to move on from Joe Rudolph. And then I think when it actually happened, those same fans were like, oh, wait a minute, this guy was actually like a perfect representation of Wisconsin. And like, you know, you guys at Rivals would know better than me, but like, probably their best recruiter, if you were just kind of ranking them, if there was a point scale, their best recruiter and the guy that has closed a lot of huge names for them. And I think just legacy-wise, a guy that was not only well-liked, but just well-respected throughout his profession. I mean, there's a reason Virginia Tech came after him as hard as they did. And that's not something that happens a ton when you're talking about a guy that's been at Wisconsin and loves Wisconsin like Joe Rudolph does to, you know, have a situation come up to him that says, you know, this is the time. But it was interesting talking to him the day that all the news became official, because he said, like, this isn't easy. Like, you know, you hope you're making the right decision and you think all the factors are in front of you, that it's going to be a good one for your family. And that's what a lot of it came down to, the moving closer to family. But you could tell, and he said it, like, this is still hard. It hasn't been easy the last few weeks, like, knowing, like, hey, my days are kind of numbered here. I'm on the way out the door. But I think just legacy wise for him, building solid offensive lines, helping guys develop. And not only that, just guys loved him. And I know, Jake, you've talked to as many of these offensive linemen the last 3 years as I have. They love Joe Rudolph and they love being coached by him. He could coach him hard, and you have that mentality of, you know, building them up as a person too. So I think that's really his legacy, just a guy that was really well-liked and well-respected. And when you look at what Bob Bostad can do, there's no doubt about it. Bob Bostad's a tough coach. Like, you listen to any of the inside linebackers, any of the guys that he's coached in his career, he's a tough coach. But he gets, I think, everything out of a person's individual talent that you can get. And when you look at what he did transitioning to the inside linebacker position that he did at Wisconsin for the last, was it, 5-6 years. He talked about guys like Leo Chanel coming from, you know, small town Wisconsin and becoming one of the best linebackers in the country. Jack Sanborn for 3 years being one of the best linebackers in the country. What Orr, Edwards, those guys all did under a coach that's learning the position too. I think that's one of those things, like, I really started thinking about with Bob Bostad's move back to the O-line. It's like, look what he did at the tight end spot with like Owen Daniels and
Derek Graham.
Graham. Yeah, I was blanking on the other one. And then all the old linemen that he produced, and then doing it with the inside linebackers. There's just no doubt this guy can coach, and he's going to be hard on you. But I think he's that same way where he's going to push you to be your absolute best, but he can still build you up individually and, you know, do it in a positive way. And offensive line is one of those positions where it's like, there's no mistaking, like, oh, you know, like, if you're talking about linebackers, oh, I could have maybe dropped a little bit back in the zone, but it was still the safeties guy. Like, no, it's offensive line. You got to move that guy or the job's not done. Like, you got to do what you got to do. And I think Bob Bostad is one of those guys that will be able to push that and keep that competition level at a point with that group that pushes everybody. Because as we mentioned, all that talent's there. It's got to take a step forward. Guys have to earn some roles, and there's going to be a ton of competition that I'm probably the most excited I've ever been to go into a spring and see that offensive line work. And even though spring is terrible for offensive line because you're not in full pads all the time and your contact periods are pretty limited, I'm still just really interested to see how that all looks. And I think it's going to be really interesting watching Bob Bostad lead that group again.
Well, I think also you talk about that. I know Ross Dellinger from SI, I think he was talking about he had retweeted something about the NCAA even changing the spring rules about contact too going forward. So that's going to be not going to affect not just the offensive line, but it's going to affect what's going to happen going forward for like the entire team in terms of contact. Granted, they were so injured, it felt like during the fall five open practices that we saw that, I mean, we saw Jack Dunn become a running back for one of those practices. So right. I digress there, but going to, you know, well, before we get to the transfer news, you know, you and I talked, you know, we're texting like, okay, you know, where, you know, seeing if they would hire someone externally or if they would put out an external position. And of course, was it Wednesday night? We, you know, I got, you know, one of our shout out to Jeff at Badger Blitz forums there where he pointed out to me, he sent me a link saying, hey, it's open now. And I was searching, I think 3 to 4 times a day, refreshing that jobs.wisc.edu site to see if there was they're going to look externally for a candidate rather than an internal shuffle of the coaching staff. I know you were doing that too, and you and I were texting like, you know, will they, won't they? And I guess too, what stood out to you about that? You know, them saying offensive coordinator. It's not just assistant coach; it's offensive coordinator as the lead title. And what stood out to you? I know you wrote about it in the Wisconsin State Journal, and what could it mean for the staff?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think, number one, it says that Paul Chryst is open to, you know, somebody coming in on the offense and having a top billing role to help him either, whether it's game planning, whether it's play calling, however it shakes out, somebody that's going to be helpful or helping lead the offense from the front. And, you know, when you look through that job description, not that these are always the most descriptive things. They're mostly boilerplate. They're covering all their legal bases, all that type of stuff. I understand all that. But the things that jumped out to me because they weren't there was, like, you know, a specific position being mentioned. Like, is this person going to be expected to be the quarterback's coach? There wasn't play calling mentioned. Like, there's 1 to 3 years of experience preferred. And it didn't say anything about if you've called plays before, things of that nature. I think what that did is twofold. Number one, it opens a really wide net. It really keeps that job, you know, possible to, you know, all types of offensive minds that either if they haven't been a quarterback's coach before, if they called plays or not, like it really opens that whole thing up. And then two, I think it gives Paul Chryst the option of either hiring somebody that's going to do a bunch of things, like let's say be the offensive coordinator, play caller, and quarterback's coach, or just going to be one thing, just the quarterback's coach that's got the title of OC. Like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But I think when you look at that job description, look what Wisconsin needs. They've gone 2 years scoring less than 26 points a game, and that was the first time they had done that since 2000. Or not actually, 2010. Yeah.
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just – they need to score more points. Not that they're going to be a 50-point-a-game team or anything like that. It's just you've got to be able to put more points on the board when you know your defense is going to be good and not let the other team score a lot. So I think that there's an admission on Paul Chryst's end of being like, we got to do something a little bit different on offense. And I think this position and how they worded all the posting and everything like that gives them a chance to at least see some resumes from some people that have maybe a little bit more – variety of experiences. And I say all of that with also mentioning the fact that there's a 7-day window to apply and knowing that they got to be out on the recruiting trail and, you know, they're going to want to move pretty quickly. It makes me think that they've got somebody in mind already and they just had to legally, because it's an exterior position, put it up on the job board. But I've got to imagine that they've got somebody in mind and they're working through it right now.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that 7-day window and what that could mean, but you kind of already hit it on the head there. And you know, obviously, you know, we've seen like the tweets from this. You talked about the recruiting part of it, staffs have been out. There have been new offers this week, and we'll get into that maybe next week, folks, on our podcast, talking with John McNamara about some of the newer offers that have gone out and just anything that we've heard on that recruiting trail there. But I guess even going forward, looking at, let's talk about the transfers, right? Gosh, big week, two Bruins, stupid pun on my end. Something was brewing in Madison with the, and we'll, you know, we'll talk about that with Rick Kimbrell from BruinBlitz.com, talking about Jay Shaw, Keontez Lewis, and what they can bring. He's covered the Bruins for quite a while, and he had a great, you know, we had a great talk earlier this week. So folks, we'll hear that maybe next 5 minutes or so. We'll play that, but Jay Shaw, and then you had the report out there. So did Evan Flood from 24/7 Sports about Kentucky defensive back, you know, Cedric Dort Jr. We've talked about before Justin Clark, who will be in the seventh year playing for Toledo, or was playing at Toledo, familiar with Hank Poteet because Hank coached there for a few years. And now it looks like you have one wide receiver, but you have three defensive backs now with, you know, that are transferring along with a cannon legged kicker from Arkansas, but focusing in on the defensive backfield. What does it mean to you where they lose Fan Hicks, they lose Caesar Williams, but they also lost Dante Burton and Deron Harrell to the transfer portal. So there's four defensive backs leaving. You have two incoming for the 2022 class as early enrollees in a Corey Lide and Avion Jones. But, you know, but what does that say to you where they're bringing in players that I think they could be used, especially Shaw, maybe versatile type role in the nickel, when talking to Rick, and Rick will say more later, but I guess, what does that mean to you for the defensive backs and bringing in three of them through the portal?
Yeah, it's, to me, it kind of signals that one, they knew they had to replace more bodies than they could in the high school ranks, bringing guys in. And then two, it shows that they value experience a ton at that position, and they're going into next season before all these transfers without really any. You know, you've got Dean Ingram, Alexander Smith, who played a ton this year, as an inside and outside corners, depending on injury and, you know, how exactly. Who was playing better in the slot. But I think when you look at, you know, you've got, you mentioned Justin Clark, he's going to his seventh college season. Jay Shaw's yep. going into his sixth. Dort's going into his sixth. I mean, these are guys that have played a ton of football that are going to be able to come in. Jim Leonard, I mean, his scheme is complicated in some ways, but for the corners, I really do feel like it's like, hey, that's your guy, cover him. At times, I know there are mixed zones and everything like that, right. But there's a lot of times where it's, hey, cover your man because we're doing some other things in the middle of the field and we need you one-on-one. And I think that that's what they really focused on and got with these cornerbacks is guys that know how to play, that know how to cover college-level receivers from day one. And that's something that, as talented as I think guys like Jones and Lide are going to be pretty quickly in their career, and guys like Ricardo Hallman who are on the roster and Al Ashford, assuming he's healthy by spring ball and everything, I think there's a ton of young talent that's going to eventually make that step forward. But I think Jim Leonard and this staff looked at the roster and said, hey, we got to have guys that are ready to play day one that have done this already. And we don't have a lot of that. And they went out and got it. And I think what it shows too is like Wisconsin's going to be a spot filler. It's going to address things in the transfer portal to keep positions at the level of experience they need to, that they feel comfortable at, which I think that they haven't been as aggressive at or at doing in years past. I like that this trend is now going to like, hey, we've got a hole. Let's fill it up. Let's get a bunch. Let's get a competition going here with some transfers at the same position and make it so that a position of weakness and really a thin position is now one of depth and one that's got experience.
Right. And, you know, you talk about that. You know, I remember Saeed Khalif, the former director of player personnel, always saying, I remember when we were talking with him, you know, last year, and how he said, you know, you look for always a big defensive lineman. So that's something that you always maybe look at in the portal too, in case someone, you know, goes that way. But they're addressing those needs that there. And I mean, I'm high on Ricardo Hallman. I think he's going to be a great player. I was huge on him coming out of high school. Al Ashford, I thought, looked good during spring ball and, you know, adjusting. You know, there's Amon Williams, who's a walk-on, who even flashed during fall camp, making a couple of interceptions. But I think this also, you know, like I said, it bolsters the experience. There's going to be competition. I like Alexander Smith and what he can do and just his versatility along with Dean Ingram. I know Dean Ingram, you know, was talking about, you know, his goals for next year and whatnot. That's on BadgerBlitz.com's YouTube page with our interview there. You guys can listen to it there a little bit more in depth, but I think it gives more competition and it shores up a lot. And then even looking at Lewis for wide receiver, they're losing Danny Davis, Kendrick Pryor, and then Jack Dunn, which a lot of experience between Pryor and Davis, 64 combined catches for nearly 900 yards and 5 touchdowns last year. Chimere Dike, Marcus Allen, Skylar Bell were the 3 names that were coming instantly to my head that could do it. But, you know, Lewis is a big 6'3" body, can make, you know, played 200 snaps according to Pro Football Focus, and looks like he could be a potential playmaker in the offense in the passing game, depending on his growth and just how he can adjust here in Madison.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the fact that he played quite a bit as a freshman at UCLA and then didn't record a catch. Like, right. He's clearly proven – he's proven value at block as a blocker. And that's something that when you talk with Alvis Whitted, the wide receivers coach, he talks about all the time. Like, you've got a block to play here. That's no questions about it. And that's why he likes some of these bigger body guys, is that they are able to just physically move DBs out of the way. And I wanted to twist or turn something on you, because I know that you've been following stuff, and I think you talked to him not too long ago. With all these DB or corners coming in, and then you look at that safety group, it's a little bit thin on the scholarship side, where you've got, you know, Torchio, Wohler, and Blaylock, really the only scholarship guys, I believe, in that group right now. Do you think a guy like Jones or Lyde, because their versatility was something they talked about a lot, do you think one of those guys could maybe move to safety and play early?
You know, I think it's someone like, I mean, we even saw it with Max Lofi, right, who's listed as a cornerback, but he was a slot. He played slot exclusively from what I saw from my two eyes during the fall camp open practices. And he was practicing with the individually during indie drills or indie position groups with, you know, the safeties. I think that's someone, it was like almost like a Madison Cone type thing before he transferred, where a similar role in that vein. You also with Jones, I mean, Jim Leonard talked about versatility and believing that he could play anywhere in the secondary. So I think Jones has an opportunity to do that. You know, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see just what they can do, even between the three guys coming in, between Clark, Shaw. I think maybe, you know, I know he was a cornerback last year, but can he fill? They're talking about, I remember talking, you know, people will hear this from Rick in just a little bit, but it's saying that he could be a nickel type player and slide in that way, which I know Dean's done throughout last season as the predominant one, not Hicks. Hicks was on the outside more, but Ingram was on that inside slot, which stood out to me with that trust and just what you have to do in that role. But I think Jones could be someone that has that as well within that safety group. And, you know, it is something where with the safety group, you have John Torchio, you know, Travion Blaylock, Hunter Wohler, which I know everyone's high on. Especially Colin Wilder, when we talked to him on the 14th of December. But even Preston Zachman, who I thought looked good during spring ball last year, I thought he looked intriguing, but, you know, he didn't play at all last year. Mm-hmm. Austin Brown could be someone as the 2022 signee he's not enrolling early, but maybe he finds his way on a special team somehow too, you know, or finds a way there. But I think Jones has an ability to play anywhere in the secondary based off of what Jim Leonard said, and even, you know, Hank Poteet mentioned too during December 15th that coach availability. So I think that, I mean, they love having the ability to mix and match and play to matchups. And, you know, we've all seen that where, you know, having a 3 safety look here out of 12 personnel or 22 personnel, or you go straight into like, oh, 11 personnel, who can match up this way? They go 3 corners, 2 safeties. So I think, you know, back to your question, I think Jones has that ability to do so. I'm wondering if one of those transfer corner defensive backs have that versatility where they could also slide to, you know, the back end of that defensive backfield and make some plays there too. So, yeah. But no, it's going to be fun, man. This is what, you know, we'll see what happens during spring ball, which is 2-3 months away already. Talk about a break for us, but I appreciate you. Yeah. I've already kept you longer than the 15 minutes that I told you.
No, you're fine. So
I appreciate you.
You started this and you were talking about like, oh, you're taking some days off. I probably get asked once a week by like a friend or a family member that doesn't like quite get this job. Like, so what do you do during the off season? You know, that off season just keeps shrinking. At this point, you kind of mean July. I mean, a little bit of June and July, but yeah.
Yeah.
There's stuff going on all the time. It's major college football.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing, too, is like, you know, I know you and I have been trying to figure out, everyone on the Wisconsin beat's been trying to figure out the offensive lineman work, you know, like who's going to be the offensive line coach. Will there be an offensive coordinator? You know, there was no external hiring. So is, you know, does that, we're asking questions of, does this lean towards Paul Chryst keeping everything internally and just moving around pieces like on a chessboard for the coaching staff? So, yeah, we've had that. And then, you know, just trying to talk with players, like, you know, I talked to Leo Chanel. Yeah, that's the first time I've talked to him since he made his decision public. And I finally got, you know, we got in touch and we made things happen this week. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, like life of a reporter, man, like breaking news, news never stops. And you and I, and then along with everybody else on this beat, it's been a busy one, a lot busier than what we thought, and whatnot too. But on that note, what, anything else you got coming up through the pipeline? Are you gonna be able to take a little bit of a break coming up, Colton, at the Wisconsin State Journal?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm helping out with basketball a little bit, so you can check out Madison.com. Highly rated basketball team out of nowhere. Yeah. It's funny. This is supposed to be a down basketball year, so kind of a slower winter on helping that out. Wrong, but it's all right. It's good. It's fun to watch. So,
gotcha. Only the number 8 team in the nation right now, going up against Michigan State in just about an hour and 40 minutes. A late tip
player off. Of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, just an emerging national player of the year that you got to watch when you were covering, you know, when you were covering sports in lacrosse before you came here to Madison. So any good Johnny? Okay. Last question. Absolutely. Last question. Any good Johnny Davis stories back from his prep days in lacrosse when you were out there?
So as anybody that's watched his press conferences know, like this year, he's been a little bit better about talking, a little bit more open. Freshman Johnny Davis that helped Lacrosse Central win a state championship was not great at speaking with media, and he was very polite and tried. He just didn't have a whole lot to say, but I believe it was either against Onalaska, so like the cross or like the next town rival, or Holman, which is kind of the same thing up in the lacrosse area. Pretty sure he had like something like 8 steals and 2 dunks in the same game, and he was there, and it was insane. And I'm talking to him afterwards. He's like, well, yeah, I mean, like nobody was there, so I figured why not dunk it? I'm like, yeah, that's like really hard for 99% of the world, but that's awesome. That's cool. You can do that. So yeah, it was fun.
Awesome, man. Colt, man, it's always great talking to you on podcasts. Anytime I see you, man, appreciate you. Hopefully you're able to take a little bit of a break and a little, some vacation time here and there. I know I'm going to try to next week, but in between all the, if they do announce, you know, with that hiring date being effective, what, January 31st is what they're saying for the offensive coordinator role. But thanks again, brother. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
No time, Drake. See you.
Folks, that's Colton Bartholomew from Wisconsin State Journal. Of course, Wisconsin Badgers football beat writer. Of course, the host, I forgot to mention this, of the Red Zone podcast, which you can also hear anywhere you have podcasts as well. So we're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll play the audio from our talk with Rick Kimbrell from Bruin Blitz, talking about Jay Shaw, talking about Keontez Lewis and what they did and what could be the, what they could bring to Wisconsin. So you'll hear more here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast powered by Overtime Media in just a minute after we pay some bills with the Mads.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big thanks again to Colton Bartholomew for joining the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. This is Jake Kukorowski, senior writer. Now we're going to take you to our conversation I had with Rick Kimbrell, publisher of BruinBlitz.com, the Rivals.com destination that covers all things UCLA athletics, talking about two former Bruins in Jay Shaw and Keontez Lewis. Check it out here. Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another edition of Badger Blitz TV. Kind of an extra one. I thought my interview with Leo Chanel yesterday would be it. But you know what? We have one more guest coming up this week on Badger Blitz TV. Why? Because something was brewing in Madison. I am so sorry for that pun, but I am a dad for that matter. But Wisconsin picked up two transfer commitments from former UCLA players. That's defensive back Jay Shaw, wide receiver Keontez Lewis. And to help us break down these two, I'm very happy to just been talking with him a little bit earlier this morning and talked to him yesterday before we had him on the show. We got Rick Kimbrell from BruinBlitz.com, our Rivals.com cousins that cover UCLA. Rick, thanks for making time on Thursday morning, man. And I guess, you know, Wisconsin's had 9 players enter the transfer portal. 2 of them were dismissed before that, prior to entering the portal, but they've had 9. You know, how has the transfer portal, before we get into Shaw and Lewis, how has the transfer portal affected UCLA and its roster so far in 2022?
They've lost 14. Last time I was looking at it the other day, 14 players. One thing that Chip Kelly has done extraordinarily well has been the use of the portal. Britton Brown, the running back, helped them. Zach Charbonnet, Quantez Knight, great safety who really brought a lot of attitude to the defense. So they've been pretty. They've been very good. Paul Gratton, offensive lineman, they've been very successful in the portal. This is the first time there's been a lot of players leaving, which is interesting. But that's kind of a trend across the whole college football landscape. But talking about the two guys that I'm here for, Jay Shaw and Keontez Lewis, you picked up two outstanding football players, in my opinion. Jay Shaw was, in my opinion, the best cover corner on the team. He really did a lot of good things at the end when UCLA's pass defense started to make some improvement. I mean, when you move up from 117th to 107, I mean, there's still a lot of holes, but he was one of the reasons why they were able to make up that movement. I thought he would have been an excellent nickel this year because I think that they have a couple of other corners. And I was very happy to see that he was coming back. He made an announcement, I'm coming, returning, and then he puts his name in the portal. But I think he's an outstanding football player, and I think that the Badgers picked up a really good player who's going to fit in with the culture there, and he's going to be a good teammate to the Badgers. Now, Lewis is a freshman who has off-the-chain potential. Big 6'2 guy, fast, good body control. Just really impressive in practice. Didn't get a lot of time in games, but again, his potential is tremendous.
And you know, let's back up and talk about Shaw for a quick second. We got a graphic up here. I don't know if you can see this, Rick, but you know, he announced his commitment to Wisconsin on the 18th of January. You know, UCLA lists him at 5'11", 190 pounds, 43 career games with 16 starts. Reeled in 6 interceptions, including a team-high 3 last season for the Bruins. I mean, the pro football grade was 82.7 for those that follow that service or subscribe to that service. It's the best on the Bruins' defense in 2021. And, you know, he also had 27 tackles and 4 pass breakups last year, too. I guess, you know, going back to you talk about him being the best cover corner, what did Shaw, you know, how was he used primarily throughout his time in UCLA? And you talked about him going to corner. Does he have that flexibility to be both an outside and an inside, you know, a slot type corner?
I think he does, definitely. As a matter of fact, I was talking to one of my sources about him before he transferred, because we were really high on thinking, yeah, put him in and get him on a slot and maybe get John Humphrey or another one of the corners to go with Kirkwood at the other one, because Kirkwood is a emerging superstar, in my opinion. He's going to end up being one of the best that ever played the position at UCLA, and that's saying something because they put a lot of DBs into the NFL. But he is just really just a fantastic cover guy, man. He has good closing too. If a guy gets a step, he's just, again, I was thinking he should have played a lot more throughout his career. But, you know, I'm not in the defensive back room, so I don't know what was going on in there. But when he played, UCLA was a better defense, in my opinion.
And I was going to say, too, going over and looking at someone like, you know, talking about Keontez Lewis and waiting for my player card to come there, you know, again, same day, just a few hours after after Shaw made his announcement via Instagram, you know, Lewis made his via the social media as well. 6'3", 197 per the roster. He played in 11 games as a true freshman. He's a, you know, class of 2021 recruit.
Yeah.
Didn't catch a pass. I mean, Pro Football Focus reported 207 snaps played last season, which that's a substantial amount for a true freshman in 11 games and getting, you know, used to the speed of the college game from high school. He held 27 offers from various teams. I mean, gosh, you look at those, I think it was like Ole Miss. There are several Big Ten schools involved, et cetera, on that Auburn, if I'm not mistaken, too. I guess with him, just, you know, I know you talked about just, you know, him with potential. You know, how was he used within the Bruins offense? And even though he didn't catch a pass,
well, he was targeted a couple times, but see, the most of the targets went to guys that are going to probably play in the NFL. Phillips, the slot back, and the tight end Greg Dulcich got most of the targets, and Cam Brown was getting a lot of targets, but he had a couple, I think he had a couple drops, but his potential is off the charts. He's just a big guy. In practice, he was making those catches, strong hands. And the reason why he, obviously, at UCLA, you don't play wide receiver unless you are going to be a good blocker. Because that's what they do at UCLA. They want to run the football, and if you want to play wide receiver, you got to make blocks. So you're going to get a guy that's going to be pretty well trained in blocking in the run game. And I know I don't get to watch the Badgers that often, but they used to like to run the football, and I'm pretty sure they still do. And so he's going to help in that game. He's going to help in that. But he's going to be a target, man. He's got speed. He's got good length. I think, again, for me, I think losing Shaw and Lewis were the two biggest losses. I'd have to look at the list again because I try to keep in the present moment what's going on, and they're gone. Okay, God bless you. Good luck. And I wish you all the best, and go Badgers when you guys are playing. But I'm concentrating on UCLA and not on the guys that are in the portal. But those two guys jumped out at me when they got in there, especially since they both played so much. And I know that Keontae Lewis was going to be he was going to take that next step, but I guess he's going to take that next step with Wisconsin in the Big Ten.
Rick, man, I appreciate all of you making time today, you know, on such short notice talking to us about the two former Bruins that are now going to be Badgers. What do you got going on at BruinBlitz.com coming up this week with both football, basketball, recruiting? I mean, a lot going on this time of year.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, Chip Kelly has done the portal really well. And the Bruins just picked up a commitment out of the portal. And they picked up a new coach. Look, we got a lot. UCLA needs to hire a new defensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator. So there's a new offensive line coach. There's a lot of stuff going on that end. Basketball, you know, Mick Cronin, UCLA fans are so happy that he showed up because UCLA is a blue blood basketball program. There's no question about it. It has more national championships than any other team. Unfortunately, they are all with one coach except for one. And but we think that Mick Cronin is going to bring home another banner. And they're really fired up about what he's doing. And what folks have to remember, he's doing this with Steve Alford's players. He's not doing it with his recruits. He's done a remarkable job.
Excellent. Rick, man, we appreciate you once again, man. Have a great start to 2022.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. My pleasure being with you. Thank you for having me, my friend.
Big thanks again to Rick Kimbrell from BruinBlitz.com, taking some time earlier this week to discuss the two new Badgers coming from UCLA. For that note, folks, we're going to break it down here. We're going to send it home, as I say. Thank you all for listening. Big thanks again to not just Rick, but to Colton Bartholomew, the Wisconsin State Journal's Wisconsin beat writer, and really appreciate them both this week making some time. Be sure to, for this podcast, make sure you subscribe iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever you have podcasts. That's where Badger Blitz will be. And then on top of that, to please subscribe to not just this. I mean, this is a, you know, like I said, the podcast is free, but also YouTube, our YouTube channel. We're growing still. We had Leo, you know, Chanel on there. We had, we're having John Chanel coming up next week. We've had Scott Nelson. We have tons of content coming up during the off season that we're still formulating, still putting together to deliver. And that's all free. So hit that subscribe button, hit those like buttons, help us grow that product too. And then of course, subscribe to BadgerBlitz.com, part of the Rivals Network. We have tons of info, 40 years of experience between Ben Wargle, John McNamara, and myself, delivering you everything again from the recruiting trail inside Camp Randall Stadium and on the Kohl Center court. So again, we have that, Facebook, Wisconsin Badgers on BadgerBlitz.com. And for Twitter, for me, it's at JCoco, K-O-C-O. We also have, for Ben, it's at The Badger Nation. John McNamara, at McNamara Rivals. Raul Vasquez, our staff writer, does all the basketball previews. Raul V45. On that note, we're just going to take it home from there. Y'all have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay well, be well, take care of others. We'll talk to you next week here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.